Hey, hi, hello, and welcome to my beauty industry enthusiasts, content creators, and brand visionaries. Get ready to step into a world where beauty meets business, where the creator economy blends seamlessly with strategy. I'm Sonia Elise, and this is Lip Service, the podcast. We're about to redefine the way that you think about the beauty industry. From the boardroom to the makeup room, we're leaving no stone unturned. Lip Service is your backstage pass to the beauty industry's best kept secrets. Now take out your notebook, fill up your emotional support water bottle, and swipe on your favorite lip gloss. Let's get into the episode. Welcome to Lip Service, the podcast. Today we have a very special guest, a uber creative professional makeup artist, and now the face of Milk Makeup in your local Sephora. Ellie Luna is on the podcast today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Before we dive in into all the Q&A on your journey as a makeup artist, a creative, an online personality, can you tell us what is on your face today?
Okay, I'm wearing the Hourglass Hydrating Skin Tint Veil. And I have on YSE. This is Molly Sims' brand. I worked with Sir John on his team for the Sports Illustrated 60th anniversary shoot. And she brought this and we all got to try it. I've been using it. And a little YSL Tushy Cut. And on my lips, it's a brown liner from Tower 28. And the Stila. It's called Plumping Lip Glaze in the shade Cinnamon. It's like one of my new favorite things.
We kind of are on a similar vibe.
Oh my gosh. I know we are. I was just going to say today I posted a selfie saying like, I'm really obsessed with cinnamon makeup for myself. And it's like a brown with like a tiny touch of red. I finally discovered like that is the color for
it me. It looks really
like
good
every time.
You.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it. Okay. One more makeup related question or beauty related question before we dive in. You unfortunately are deceased tomorrow, but you get to take one product to the grave. What do you select?
One product. Maybe a hydrating brown lip product that I can use on my cheeks, my eyes, my lips. Maybe it has SPF 15 in it.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
And I can also like smudge it around my little lash line or something.
Okay. A multi-use product. Does anything come to mind that does that?
I mean, my first thought would be like lip and cheek stay, like the milk jelly stick or like any of the Mario blushes or you know what would be good too? It's tricky because you want to have SPF.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be dead, so it's fine.
Exactly. It's freedom.
I'm like immediately thinking about the island question with this, which is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would just take that. It would be like, you know what? Something bronzy or brown. I could land on my lips. Mm-hmm. It just does all the things that I can't live without.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. I love it. And what is currently bringing you inspiration right now? Where are you gathering inspiration? Magazines, TV, other creators, like where are you getting your itch from?
I'm really inspired by makeup artists. I'm so inspired by other makeup artists. I'm really inspired by creators like May, Microsoft. I just love, and it's not inspiration like I see her and then I go do something. It's just like that thing that fills you up with like, wow, that is incredible, you know? And Nyan, another creator. These are people who have like, they do such specific things that are particular to them. And, but if it's a makeup artist or a creator, that's always the most inspiring thing to me. Like someone who's so in their own bag, it's just amazing.
Yeah, I think that's really beautiful and inspiring no matter who they are. When you see someone who's just so true to their own vision.
Yes.
And you're like, yes, I love this. This is someone who's doing it right.
Exactly.
Amazing. Okay, well, let's dive into the episode.
Let's do it.
All right. So for any of our listeners who do not know you, what is a little brief bio about
you? Like, where did you come from? How did you get into makeup? Yeah. How did you get here? Give us a little background.
Well, I'll speed through the early years, but it started with my mom. My interest in makeup started with my mother. She was always the glam girl. Wherever she was, whoever she was among, she was that girl, the nails, the hair, the clothes and everything. I got really into makeup and started doing, you know, playing with things when I was 11, and I got my first liner, got my first gloss. And, you know, in high school, you start buying the CoverGirl, Maybelline shadows. And then everyone in my family knew I was interested in music and beauty, modeling, like all mm-hmm. these related entertainment things. So while mm-hmm. I pursued music, I also was like in this thing with beauty, giving my sister full makeovers head to toe. And then I would take pictures of her. I would take pictures of her and I would just like live for it. And then my uncle had a student. He was a Buddhist monk for like over 20 years. So he had a lot of people that would come to him for spiritual guidance. And then one of those people was, this role doesn't exist anymore, but he was the visual consultant for the New York City Ballet, and he needed an assistant. Oh, wow. So
amazing.
Yeah, I ended up assisting him. Wow. Everything from the neck up, but that was his department. So nothing Got left it. That the makeup department without his mm-hmm. approval. And a lot of the looks wow. that were set there and how they evolved mm-hmm. have his influence very strongly. So yeah, I assisted him for
Incredible.
5 years. And then in between that, I was, you know, reaching out to students at Parsons and testing. I was on whatever website there was where models and makeup mm-hmm. artists and photographers could connect. Mm-hmm. I was doing that. I was waitressing, all the things. But that's really where it started. It started mm-hmm. like for real was when I started assisting.
Wow. Okay. And then what do you think, like from there, moving forward in the timeline, what was the next thing where you're like, wow, like I'm living where I wanted to be. Like I'm sure there's always more goals, but what was your first, you know, we all have like that one moment where like, okay, I'm doing it now. Like what was your moment?
I think it was, I had left the company because I was pursuing mm-hmm. other things. And then mm-hmm. at the right moment, as I was getting off the AirTran, whatever it's mm-hmm. called, at JFK, I got a phone call from someone at the company that I used to work with who was not my boss, my former boss. Mm-hmm. And I was invited to come back to be the makeup artist because he was no longer wow. there. And once I found my footing and stopped trying to do what he did, because, you know, you mm-hmm. feel like you have these big shoes to fill. And I was never going to fill those shoes. He was like on another level. But once I found like my style and I started just trusting myself more and developing that, I really started to be like, wow, this is what I do for a living. Like, this is amazing. And yeah, that was
amazing. Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. Okay. Now let's sort of shift. So you're getting the jobs, you're doing the work, you are like really cementing as a makeup artist. At what point did being a makeup artist sort of intersect with also being a content creator?
Well, content creation has always been part of my life because I was pursuing music. So creating and producing media was something that I always had a hand in. I was an independent artist, so I had to be self-reliant in that way. And I was doing my makeup and doing my hair, but I used to keep makeup and music very separate because I wanted people to take me seriously. And I feel like maybe like not until 5 years ago, it started to be encouraged to share your multi-hyphenateness. Before yeah. that, it was like, you're not focused. You do too many things, like jack of all trades, master yeah. of none. But now it's such a feature mm-hmm. of a person's personality to be so multifaceted. So I used to keep them separate. And then mm-hmm. I would say when they really merged for me was, I think it was 2019. There are little droplets of me trying to do it, but not sure if I wanted to, like, I would just play my song in the background and do my makeup.
Yeah.
I
was,
like, I'm promoting my mm-hmm. music. And then, and then in 2019, I had, before that I had bought a camera, tried all the things, recorded things, never posted them. 2019, I had a surgery and I couldn't do anything. And so I couldn't even leave my room. So all I could do was get myself together from here up. And then I would make videos. Yeah.
And then you know what happened after that, 2020.
Yep.
Yeah.
Lots of time to make videos.
So much time.
So that was truly the moment when it really clicked for me. Because I, you know, when you, there was a lot of anxiety in the world, but not about work. So
sure.
that space was created, and needing a creative outlet, it was the most natural thing to do.
Wow. So just a perfect next step for stuff that you were already sort of working on.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's fantastic. And now, how do you view the way that you sort of spend your time and your workflow? I mean, I know everything, of course, like intersects, like you're creating music, you're just being creative, you are doing tutorials and content, but now you're also thinking brand partnerships or, you know, being on set. How do you sort of balance or shift your focus so that one of those is kind of at the forefront all the time?
For me, I'm such... like if I get a gig, for example, that is for makeup artistry that comes across my table and I'm like not aligned with the client, mm-hmm. I just won't do it. If I'm not aligned with the gig, if whatever it is, I just have to feel, I did so many things that I didn't feel good about. I feel like I'm done with that. Mm-hmm. So
good for you.
The thing that needs to be at the forefront for me is not the type of work that I'm doing, but how I feel about mm-hmm. the work that I'm doing. And I feel like for me lately, as far as that flow, that has been the sweetest spot I've found so far is I'm happy to just be doing makeup. I'm so lucky to do makeup. Like my little self is just cannot believe it, you know? So yeah, mm-hmm. every time I like have a moment, I'm like, wow, this is my job. I used to play pretend like I was in a beauty supply store or like I owned a beauty supply store. Literally put all the hairspray and all my mom's products on the windowsill and then sit in front of it like I'm at a computer.
I could just imagine you be like, welcome to Ellie's Beauty Supply.
So it's just been something that has been such a theme in my life, my entire life. So mm-hmm. yeah, I think the gratitude is super high. So the preference is a little more flexible with the exact way that it manifests.
That amazing. Well, I'm sure the creators who are listening to this are dying to know about your work with Milk. Mm. And how did that come about? I would love to know sort of like the stages. I'm sure they didn't just call you one day and say like, hey, be the face of this new product. You have a history with them. I'm sure you've worked with them in many facets. Can you walk us through that so people can kind of understand what that looks like?
Yeah, I'm so happy you asked this question because it's a story that I learned something from when I was going through it. I learned so much mm-hmm. from. First, I want to say the first time I ever posted about a Milk product that I was using was 2017. So that was what's math? 7 years ago. Yeah. and it wasn't because that was the first time I used it, but that was the first time I was like, oh, I'm going to post about this.
Sure.
And some products just happen like that. So I want to say that things can happen faster, mm-hmm. but usually they don't. So I just want to preface with that. And then just organic love and usage of the products over the years, we built a rapport, I think, with the mm-hmm. brand in general, with each other. But when the casting happened, I got an email that was telling me about the casting for this mm-hmm. thing. And I had done one other thing with them where it was just a social thing. Okay. Where we shot it in their studio, which is where they do everything. And it was something that they just kind of ran, I think, once or twice on TikTok, on Instagram. And mm-hmm. it was a good experience, went home, whatever. Then I got this email about this casting for another thing. This is much later. And I was like, I'm not a model. Like, why would I go to this thing?
But I am very pretty, so.
Thank you. No, but you know why I went? And mm-hmm. this is the reason why I'm happy you asked this question. I went to the casting because I didn't want to define myself as anything. I was like, you're being invited. Mm-hmm. Just go. You know, I'm whatever I say I am. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I heard myself telling myself, I'm not this, so I can't do this. So I'm limiting myself with my own self-concept. So even though I still didn't believe that I could do it, mm-hmm. my job that day was to challenge my self-concept and just go mm-hmm. to the casting. First, it was reply to the email, girl, because sometimes you get an email, you're just looking at it, you're like, can't believe this.
It's so true.
You're like, wait, mark unread. I need to process this.
Paralyzed. I got to circle back.
I'll be back. Hold back. So I did that. I replied to the email. It's like, okay, I'm like, yes, would love to come. And the day of the actual casting, I have this thing that I had been working on with going mm-hmm. to events. Quick aside, mm-hmm. Sagittarius. quick thing. So I had this thing I was working on of going to things by myself, right? Getting the courage to go to events and all these things, right? Especially coming mm-hmm. out of 2020 and this whole new career shift. And so I had this self-sabotaging behavior where I would take extra long to get ready.
And then be like, it's too late. I can't go.
It's too late. Can't go.
The fact that you even recognize that about yourself and then to just say like, oh, I can't properly manage time. Like you knew that you were self-sabotaging.
So it started with that realization. And then my job was, okay, start getting ready earlier and leave. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so I would get to this point of getting ready where I'm like, you're doing that thing again. You have to leave now. Just walk out the door. Just go grab your purse. Uh-huh. That's what happened the day that I went to the casting, where I was noticing myself kind of taking extra long. And I was like, okay, whatever I have on, whatever my makeup is, whatever, just get out the house. So I went to the casting, uh-huh. did the whole thing, went through the motions, felt awkward the whole time. That's another thing I want creators to know. It's like, you don't have to feel like you're killing it. Just do your best. If that's just
out
going,
of the house, of course.
Yeah, get out of the house. Turn on the camera. You don't have to. Doesn't have to be the bet. Like in a perfect world, I would have felt great that day. I would have woke up early. I would have done yoga. I would have done my skincare. Like that's not what mm-hmm. happened. So I had to just go the way that I was. You know.
Yep. Show up as you are.
Yeah. Exactly. So I went and didn't expect to hear from them. I was like, yeah, well, that was a good practice. I'm glad I got a chance to show up and I did the thing. And that was the event for me. And then I didn't hear from them, didn't expect to hear from them, didn't barely notice until they did email me mm-hmm. with an offer to do this campaign. And I was like, mark unread. I'll be back.
Circle back. I'm going to need a minute.
Let me think. Let me just take a deep breath. So that was kind of how it happened. And I'm going to tell you right now, even when I went and shot this campaign and did the whole day with them, mm-hmm. I left and I was like, they're not going to use it.
They're cutting me out.
They're not going to use any of that. And I was aware that they were shooting other talent. So I was, mm-hmm. and of course, you don't know what the plan is. You're just like outside looking in. Mm-hmm. And I was like, they're probably shooting a bunch of people for the same thing. And then they're going to use the one that makes the most sense. It's mm-hmm. fine. And then I saw they rolled out the jelly tint thing. Of course, you don't know when it's going to happen. They just drop it. And it was the first rollout was myself and Jillian. I was like, oh, my God.
There's my face.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So that's how that came about. And that was kind of the thoughts going in my head throughout that process.
Wow. Well, I love that you touched on two very important things. One is getting out of your own way. And if you're invited to the room, you're meant to walk into it, even if it's not the perfect definition of what you think you are or deserve or whatever, there's a reason the email is coming to you. So no matter what the scenario. And two is that you felt awkward at events. And that is everyone. Everybody asks me, how do I get invited to events? And then secondary, they say, I'm scared when I go. Yes, everyone is.
Everyone feels a little awkward. And I think the times that I have gone to an event and felt okay was when I was just like, I feel awkward. It's fine. Is that okay? Can I have a mocktail?
Yeah.
All right. Like you just have to live in it. And I think the only thing that makes me feeling awkward worse is like feeling bad about it or wanting to hide it or what. Like, just be in it. That's what helps me. I'm just like, I don't know what's going on. Hey.
I always find that what helps me, because even I'm used to hosting events and being the person who invites everybody to events. And what always helps me is to, like, start complimenting everybody around me.
Right.
It's, like, the easiest way to, like, kick off a conversation, especially in the beauty industry. You're
totally.
What liner is this? What shadow is this? Like, what lippy are we
wearing? I do that, too. It's, like, but you see so much beauty at these events. It's, like, impossible not to be, like, oh, my God, this lip, this liner, this.
Yeah.
That is a great little icebreaker.
Mm-hmm, for sure. What an incredible story. And now we see your face in every Sephora. Is it so weird? I mean, I saw you release your video of you going in and having like your moment, like, oh my God, yeah. I went and I saw you, especially because it was like timed with Sephora's sale, a huge like new product yeah. launch that made a big splash. Like, how did it feel to be like, this is, here I am?
it's exciting and it's affirming. And I definitely had to go through different stages of it because people were telling mm-hmm. me they were seeing it. And it took me weeks. Like, I didn't go see it. And then a friend of mine posted something, and it was like a sermon. And this guy was talking about, there's a part of you that doesn't really believe what you did was enough, or you feel like you don't deserve it, or whatever these mm-hmm. feelings are that are very complicated when we do creative work or any work, really. And so it made me really sit with like, this is exciting. Like, I cried when I saw this. Like, why have I not gone to look at it? So mm-hmm. I did go through a lot of different kind of emotions around it, which I found interesting. But ultimately, I'm just so grateful to have been able to do it.
Yeah. Success is very a complex series of emotions, I would say. Like, for me as well, I'm of that camp. I have a hard time sitting in success or recognizing it, or like really feeling it on a deeper level.
Yeah,
you know, it's a tough one for a lot of people and a lot of creatives, because they know so many people are working towards a similar goal, and so to feel like you were more deserving or anything like that, it's a difficult journey to sit with 100%. But I'm glad that you had that moment.
Mm-hmm. I would add to that too. Sometimes people can love you and want the best for you, mm-hmm. and you can love them and they can be close. But there's also something that happens where you don't feel safe celebrating around everyone. Mm. So there's that too.
Yeah,
where you mm-hmm. can feel the energy. Like, if you're like, oh my God, this amazing thing happened, and it's like, oh, and you're like,
yeah,
never mind.
100%. I've lost friends because they're unable. And I also like respect that, you know, like if your friendship with someone or your relationship, even a business relationship with someone, is starting to feel like they're having so much success that it's making me feel bad, even if they're not trying to. It's your own personal work that needs to be done there. Right. But sometimes that's the reason why you can no longer be as close, or that you have to hit unfollow.
Right.
That's fine.
Right.
You got to respect your own boundaries.
Yeah, I think a lot of creators struggle with that. Mm-hmm. And even just making content, like how people will respond. I talk about this thing with creators called, I think it's called context collapse, mm-hmm. where even showing up in any capacity online is scary because all these different factions in your life are mm-hmm. witnessing you, and they don't all necessarily mm-hmm. see the same version of you. So it's like you either have to show up in a way that is consistent everywhere you go, mm-hmm. or, you know, hide. And sometimes for creatives or people who aspire to create or do anything, that can be very paralyzing, I think. Like, just that fear of like, how are people gonna, or I don't wanna, you know, I wanna stay here with my friends or whatever it is. So
yeah, it's all based off of perception and the external perception, which is so difficult. Like, the most difficult part about putting yourself online is that no matter your intentions, other people are allowed to perceive however they like.
Yeah, so true.
Well, before we hop off, I have two more questions.
Yeah, please.
One, the most amazing thing that you have been doing in my eyes, although you do a lot of amazing things, is your new series where you create original music that teaches people how to do makeup. I mean, it's so creative. It's so well produced. It's so good on every level. How did you finally marry this in such like a precise way? And how long does it take you to create one of those? Because that's it's a lot.
Thank you so much. I started experimenting with this idea in 2020, but it was very like brand centric. Like, I would be like, mm-hmm. like I did one with Uma Beauty products and I named mm-hmm. the products I was using, but that was like, it was fun, but not valuable, I think. Mm-hmm. And then I did one with like a Fenty one and it was like fun, but I think I was just developing the idea. And then I revisited the idea last year. And also I did something with Danessa where I created a song for the launch of Lightwork 4, and that got mm-hmm. me inspired again. Mm-hmm. And then So I started doing this. And to do one video, first of all, I have to think about how I want to flow. I have to think about the tutorial first. What is the tutorial?
Yeah.
Then I have to like map out the entire step-by-step of what it takes to get this done. And then I have to think about, I start experimenting with different flows. Like, how can I say this and make this rhyme in like a cute way? And then my fiance is a music producer. That's how we met when I was doing songwriting. We met in a studio. And so, then I'll be like, okay, I want to do it like this. And I'll get references for tempos, like BPMs for him to like listen to. He'll do the track and then I'll record it. And then after I record it, then I have to, this takes days.
I mean, I would think about more.
I went through a phase where I was like, I want to do one every week. I want to do it every 2 weeks, but then it's so much.
That's a lot.
And so after I record it, then I have to write out how I'm going to shoot the video.
Mm-hmm.
After I do that, then I can shoot. So it's quite a process.
Yeah. That's a labor of love. It's a labor of love. I would not even know where to begin. I'm really proud of you.
Thank you. Cause trust me, when I'm doing it, I'm like, the mental gymnastics.
I know. You'll never have dementia if you keep doing this because you're literally truly working every portion of the brain possible. Like
seriously. I'm like, okay. It does make my brain work in a totally different way, which is another thing I want to say for creators.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is you can do to like mix up your content that challenges and makes it more fun for you and engages and re-engages you. Cause I think we can get very like, okay, I'm going to do this and I do that. Then I do that. If that's working for you, fine. But if you are looking for a little zhuzh in your creative expression, I feel like that's something that could be helpful for someone.
100%. You have to keep evolving. I say this all the time on the podcast and to people.
I love all your tips, by the way.
Oh my God. Thank you.
I really do.
Thank you. I know. I always say personal evolution meets audience evolution, and that includes creativity, but the personal work is required. You can show up and do a plain Jane tutorial. That's wonderful. Some people need that.
Yes.
But eventually you're going to kind of like hit a flat line, and in order to go back up again, you need to do the next thing, which is why creation is hard. You gotta have to keep creating, keep reinventing that wheel.
Exactly.
That's tough. Yeah. All right. So final question, because you know that so many makeup artists, creatives are listening. What is some advice that you would love to pass on now that you've kind of been through lots of phases of your own creative journey? What would you recommend, or you know, little nuggets of advice of how you've been able to move forward on this?
The first thing I would say or offer is, one, always create a little environment for yourself that makes it easy to create. When I first started, I bought a fold-up table from Amazon and put my little few products on that little table, and I took a chair and I put it in a corner, and that was a little cheap light, and that was it. Something that is easy. And because when you are lacking confidence, experience in content creation, anything that's going to stop you is going to stop you. Anything that gets in the way, any barrier. Yeah, that's the first thing. Create an environment that helps support you so that you don't have to think about how you're going to set up to create. Mm-hmm. It makes it easy to sit down. The second thing I would offer is be flexible. You know, sometimes you're like, I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to post it once a day. And then you can get bogged down and overwhelmed by that commitment. Then you let yourself down. And when you let yourself down, there's like a morale killing thing. So just remember, consistency and being consistent and being constant are two different things. You don't have to show up constantly, but 100%. Show up consistently.
Yep.
The other thing is too, I go through phases where I kind of burn out a little bit on my creative output. And I'm okay with that. I think you have to find peace with sometimes you're just like, think of it like being a music artist.
Yeah.
You're top of the charts. You're dropping bangers every week. And then you go through a period where you need new material. So you have to go live life a little bit. You need to like let your brain cells regenerate. And come back to it later. And I think I'll stop there. I think it's just like have a supportive environment, be flexible. And allow yourself that time. Like I'll make what I call like low effort, but like also low pressure content.
Yeah.
So when I couldn't do beauty content, I went through a period, and I keep the videos up because I always think about in the future, I want people to look back and see this as an example where I'm like, that video got 200 views. But it was for me. It was like to help me start getting back into it. So whatever you need to do to work through, don't look to the left or right. Just find your own process and trust your process.
Yeah. Such good advice. I would definitely recommend all the same things if somebody asked me that. So amazing. Thank you so, so, so much for your time today. Absolutely. Absolutely. And we will, of course, link to all of Ellie's channels and places to follow her in the show notes. Thanks so much for listening. Lip Service Creator Hotline. How can I help you?
In this episode of Lip Service Creator Hotline, I'm coming to you live from New York City and diving in on the questions actual creators want answered. These questions come from my members in Geneva over on the Lip Service group. And the first one is from Jules Dobbs, a recent addition to the group who has joined us in the content creation challenge as well as every form of chitter chatter and community support. And we just adore her. Thank you, Jules, for submitting this question. Struggling right now with what to charge for a post, one only versus multiple for a brand. And what if it's UGC? This is an extremely common question. It seems like creators never know what to charge, but it's very difficult at the beginning of their journey. And I know that Jules is at the beginning of her journey, which is why I really wanted to address it. Early on in your content creator journey, a great way to start thinking about how to price is to think about how you would price yourself per hour for another type of work. So if you were previously in a different career, I would say take your salary and break out a hourly rate and kind of multiply by 2 for your new hourly rate. As we all know, typically our salary rate is a lot lower than the content creation rate. So you want to start somewhere that feels comfortable for you. It's also really important to think about how long does it typically take me to have the idea for the post, create the post, and edit it to its final form. If that process for you is very quick, 1 hour, that's fantastic. But if your 1 hour is only costing $50, does that mean that you should charge a brand $50? As a content creator, it's very important to think about taxes and other fees that go along with, you know, building up your presence as a content creator. And a lot of that needs to be buffered into your rates. Perhaps you are paying for, you know, premium subscriptions for editing, licensing sound that's royalty free. There's so many options there of what you might be paying for on a monthly or yearly basis that need to get included in your pricing. So I typically like to say that after taxes, after everything you're investing in yourself, a really good base rate for an early creator is somewhere between $150 to $300. That, of course, completely varies based off of how specific you are in your niche, how in demand you are. Right now, I'm finding that content creators that are over 40, definitely over 50, who have very good video editing skills and very good video presence online are highly sought after. And thus I am seeing some of them charge a little bit more of a premium. Now, getting back to Jules' question about what to charge for a single post, $150 to $300 for a single post, I believe covers both the back and forth of your time with the brand, taxes, and then of course your effort to create and monetize your presence online. Now, if you wanted to do multiple posts, I really think that making sure that you have a package ready to go that starts at $500 is a wonderful upsell. This is what I charge for one post, but this is what I could do for $500. And typically, you're able to deliver a lot by adding on just one more hour of work, but giving the brand so much more, thus making it very enticing for them to pull the trigger on the $500 package.
Now, that's if you're going to post. What happens if it's UGC, she said. I think that if you're not going to post outward facing on your own profile and it is UGC, organic usage only, that you are looking at subtracting about 20 to 30% from the original base rate, what you were going to charge to post it on the feed. So to me, it's a little bit of a subtraction in value for a brand. Likely they are going to want more content though. So again, ladder back to those packages. It is so important, especially early on when you're charging, you know, on the lower end as a content creator, to make sure that you have packages that make sense for brands. I recently just did a thread on this for a creator that really broke down, if you're going to sit down to record one video, how much more effort is it really when you sit and think about it to make two videos on the same subject, to make a set of Instagram stories while you're sitting there talking through all of the sales points, to make 1 to 2 still images, quick selfies, quick shots of yourself with that product. Fairly simple. I know because I created content and I create content for brands frequently, and it really is not that much more effort to go from one video to two videos, a set of story, and 2 still images, a much more enticing package for a brand. So to wrap this all up, Jules, start at a rate that feels comfortable based off of previous career choices and the effort that you are putting in to create your content. Make sure to factor in any sort of investments you're making in yourself and professional grade equipment. You need to make that money back in your content creation journey. And in addition, bigger than anything else and more important than anything else, make sure you are thinking in packages and what will be impactful for a brand when it comes to content. Thank you so much for submitting that question, Jules. On to our next. Next question comes from a loyal Lip Service member, very active in our Geneva group, and I am so thankful for her. Evian Riviera asks, what would you recommend be your next steps to work with a brand after you've been posting about them organically and you've gotten on their PR list? This is a great question and one that I think so many people struggle with. The conversion of a brand from gifted partner to paid partner, or even moving from gifted partner to you know me and we converse regularly, we're building a real authentic relationship. That is a very difficult path for many creators to walk. So let me break it down in a very easy, non-offensive way for you. If you've been posting about a brand organically and you are tagging them, number one, are they showing up back in your comments? Are they watching your videos, liking them, and do they comment back in these organic posts? If yes, please move to step two. If no, please stop posting about them organically for free. Okay? If the least that they could do is champion you organically back, give you engagement back. And if they're not doing that base level of support, they're likely not worth your organic post. Let's say they are being a good brand partner. They're commenting, they're sending little DM, hearts, emojis. Great. Next step, try to get on that PR list. Get the email of somebody, apply through one of our platforms, apply through the Google form, or send the DM and say, I'm so glad that you've been loving my organic content. I would love to get on the gifting list for your next launch, or I would love to be on the radar of people to be gifted in the future. Many brands have 2 gifting lists. One is a mass gifting list, which means if they are interested in your content and they feel like your content is on brand, they will send you what looks sort of like a welcome package, their best of. You get that package, and that's kind of the first test of being on their PR list. If they like what you've created with that content and you continue to be a brand champion for them, likely they will move you on to what's called a launch gifting list, which means that when a new product drops, they will make sure that you get it so that you can support that product. Congratulations, you've moved on to the next phase. If you've made it to that phase, Here is where it gets tricky. What I need you to do is continue to support and continue to show up in the DMs. And above all of that, make sure that you are emailing your contacts with roundups and links to the content that you have been creating organically. Many times, creators do not realize that the person who manages social media is not the same person who gifted you. They're different teams. Sometimes it's completely different agencies. And while we talk to each other nonstop, it doesn't mean that we know every single thing that is going on. So it's very important to say, this brand is on my wish list. I have made it to their PR list. How can I further this relationship? Not how can I get paid? How can I further this relationship? You are in the relationship building business. Move the relationship forward by sending them an email and thanking them for the recent gift. Include direct links to the content that was posted with those gifts, and then include some commentary. Did you get DMs from people that said, oh my gosh, I have to go get this. This is gorgeous on you. Did you get comments from people saying, I ran out and bought this when I saw it on you? Screen grab those and make sure that the brand sees them. Did the content perform better than usual? Do you have high views, high clicks, high engagement rate? If so, map that out for them in the email. I posted this organically. Here is the link. It ended up getting 2 times higher engagement than I normally do, which to me signals that my audience is so invested in your brand, right? You need to be strategic as a business person and content creator to move that relationship forward. In addition, at the end, instead of asking to get paid, what I want you to say is, please let me know how else I can support the brand. If you have any upcoming launches, events, or products that you would like supported, I would love to discuss. Or, I'm going to say include a note about getting coffee, whether that be in person or digitally. Ask for 30 minutes of their time. I'd love to know you more personally. This is a relationship business and it feels so odd to only DM or only email. Would you like to grab a digital coffee for 30 quick minutes? I would love to get to know you better. This shows that you are invested in this person. You want to move this relationship forward. It's not just me as a creator. Gift me the next thing. Pay me the next time. Invite me at the next event. It's what can I do for you and how can we be friends? Because going from that perspective takes the pressure off of pay me. It takes the pressure off of them feeling like, oh no, I have to give this person something now. They want something from me and maybe they have nothing to give. But if you become genuine friends, if you chit chat and you're actually concerned with how this person is doing, you're likely going to be very top of mind the next time there is budget available, the next time there is an event, there is an opportunity to test product early on, right? Because you are a true brand fan and a true person who is engaging with the brand from an organic level, you are going to be top of mind. While that felt like a TED talk and I was screaming at you, I hope it sunk in. I hope you took notes and I hope that this is what you will do moving forward, Evian, because I know that you and so many of our listeners are creating incredible organic content for brands and you deserve to move those relationships to the next phase. If you're curious about how to get your question answered on Lip Service Creator Hotline, make sure to join our free community over on Geneva. The link is in the show notes. Thanks again.
Thank you so much, as always, for listening to Lip Service, the podcast with me, Sonia Elise. If you just can't get enough of me or this podcast, which I know is the case, please follow me on Instagram and TikTok at sonia.elise. That's SONIA.ELYSS. In addition, it would mean the world to me if you could rate and review this podcast and just let me know what you think. As a thank you for being a listener, I will be selecting a monthly winner to receive a free one-on-one session with me. All you have to do to enter is screenshot the podcast and share it on your Instagram stories, tagging myself as well as at Lip Service World. If listening to this podcast has inspired you to invest in your journey as a beauty creator, don't forget that you can get my eyes on your account with a custom profile audit. It's $35, the same as a Stanley Cup, but it adds way more value to your life. Don't forget that sharing your life online can spark joy, so just hit post. Catch you on the next episode.